Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Talking with Willie Lawson. We have a very special guest, somebody I've been trying to talk to for a very long time on the program today. If you're not sure what Talking with is a series of conversations that I'm having with entrepreneurs, thought leaders, movers and shakers, media folks in the Tampa Bay area that I've actually either I've always wanted to talk to or I think I have something very important to say. So this morning, I'm blessed with having Dave Reynolds. Dave Reynolds is a sports figure, not as an athlete, but as a media personality in the Tampa Bay area for a long, been around for a very long time and has seen a lot of changes and has experienced those changes personally. So I've always wanted to talk to Dave and see, you know, where'd you come from? How'd you get here? And what was your experience here in sports media in the Tampa Bay area? And where do you see that going right now? All right, so we're going to get started right away because Dave's on a schedule, tight schedule, because he's busier than ever now, which is a bummer for me. So we're going to bring him on. I'm going to click the button, and hopefully I don't bring down the internet. And thank you, Al Gore. I think, yes, and I did not bring down the internet or cause any mayhem. Dave, is that you?
That is me, Willie. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for spending a couple of minutes with me this morning. I got to gush for a minute, if you'll let me. You've always been one of the people who was on local media that my family, when I say my family, I mean the three of us, my wife and my son, who always looked to as the a reasonable, rational voice and what was ever going on here, whatever mayhem was going on here, in the sports community. And we miss you on TV, man. I'm telling you, me and my kid miss you on TV terribly. You are the kind of voice that's really missing as I think, and I'm going to ask you if you agree that local sports especially has come down to being a very, very small part of what local newscasts are anymore.
Yeah, that's true. And thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Those words are very, very kind and a great way for me to start my day. So thank you. But yeah, it's such a different animal now. You know, the way that news is gathered, the way that news is presented, the way that sports is gathered and presented, it's so different. You know, it's really unfortunate too, because, you know, you lose something when you lose local people. You know, you lose that sense of community. There's a reason that people watch TV, and a lot of times it's because they like, you know, who's giving the sports or giving the news or giving the weather. It's that simple. It's very similar to why you like a certain musical artist or a certain sports team or an actor. You kind of like the way that person goes about their job, and there's a connection there. And I think in a lot of ways that connection has been lost, and it's also been fragmented because there's so many different voices and different options and different ways that people can get information these days.
That's very true. You know what? It's funny. And I'm going to mention some people that maybe my audience has never heard. Maybe you've heard of them and maybe they haven't heard of them, but you know, we kind of grew up here and cut our teeth here in media with people like Bob Height. Nobody remembers Bob Height. And Chris Thomas, rest in peace, Chris Thomas, and Dave Reynolds, and some others. And really got what you're saying. We got a real close community connection, because not only did they do a good job on the air, they were really good when you saw them in public. They were really good people in the community. So that was really important. And you lose that when you don't, I think we miss that, especially in Tampa area, because we don't have that to the same degree that we did, I don't know, how what 10 years, even 10 years ago.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I'll throw in a couple of other names, too. I mean, you brought up some people that, you know, at my station, my old station, you know, Gail Searin's obviously a pioneer for for women in broadcasting and in sports and, you know, basically Miss Tampa. You know, she grew up here and everybody knows her and she gets it, what it means to, you know, to be out there. You know, what you do on the air is such a small part of being an essential part of this community and giving back and understanding it and knowing the history of it and connecting with people. And when you don't have that, or John Wilson, you know, people like that, you lose that veteran voice. And I know why the veteran voice is lost, because we cost too much money, but still, all the same, you know, there's some other aspects of it that that are hard to replicate and hard to replace. Again, when you have that kind of sort of, you know, fragmented audience and people's time is so, you know, precious and dear, and everybody's busy. You know, if you talk to, you know, your next door neighbor, I'm busy. This person, I'm busy. Yes, everyone gets that. And there's not that appointment viewing anymore for television. You know, whether it's, you know, watching the 6 o'clock newscast or watching your, you know, favorite program on ABC or something like that. You just don't have that because the message has changed and the information. Again, you don't need to find out what happens at 6 o'clock. You're not waiting. You can just go to your phone or go to your tablet and you're going to know immediately. So that sense of immediacy has kind of, you know, really changed things.
Can regular broadcast TV catch up? Is there a chance that we're looking at the last gasping days of regular broadcast television, especially at the local level?
At local, it's really hard. You know, we've seen what happened with newspapers. You know, what happened with the Tampa Tribune and papers across the country. You don't have that same sort of revenue source that you don't have. You lost it with classified advertising, and you lost it again with, you know, waiting for 24 hours to find out what happens the next day. And it's unfortunate. I have a lot of good friends, and I'm sure you do as well, that were involved in print. And you saw what happened there and what continues to happen. It's going away. Within 10 years, I don't know how many newspapers are going to be, you know, in existence. Television is dangerously close to walking down that same path. You know, all you have to do is look at the ratings. Right now, if you get a 1 rating or a 1.5, you're killing it. You know, back in the day,
really?
Those are grounds for dismissal. Yeah, if you got a 1, you were out. Bottom line, you are being replaced, whether it is your general manager or your news director or the talent. That just didn't cut it anymore. You know, you had to get, you know, 5s, 6s, 10s, you know, big numbers like that to produce that sort of revenue on the broadcast side as well. You know, if you're an advertiser, where do you want to go? Where are the most eyeballs are? And if you can guarantee X amount of audience for your Ruby Tuesday or your Starbucks ad or whatever the case may be, and it's going to be seen in a high profile place where a lot of, you know, eyeballs are, and those eyeballs translate into customers. So once that, and it's happening right now, as I said, the ad dollars are changing. They're shifting to digital. You know, you can look on the political side of things even, you know, the last political election, it's almost 50-50 now between digital and television spend as far as ad dollars. The next presidential campaign will be, you know, more on the digital side for the first time in history, that, you know, TV ad dollars won't match the digital ad dollars.
That is absolutely amazing. And it's one of those things where I think people kind of know it's happening, but everybody whispers it like, well, maybe it won't. Maybe you're just hoping that things will balance out, that we've already got to that level. But you know, we talked about, you know, people talked about the NFL, people boycotting the NFL this time. And part of that was the upset with whatever, Kaepernick and the anthem and stuff. But part of it is how people watch TV now, isn't it? At
right.
my house,
oh, yeah,
we
there's
have
no question.
Cut the cable. We don't watch TV like we used to. Like we don't watch TV like we watched TV a year ago. And everything is on the lazy Susan of the menu. And whenever we want to see
That's very true. Yeah, well, that's very true. And again, look how you watch TV. If you tape a show on a DVR, you're speeding through the commercials. You don't want to waste time, you know, watching a commercial. Well, that's where that really starts to hurt the advertiser. You know, how do you grab people? How do you keep them, you know, engaged in that first screen, let alone, you know, the second screen and third screen. You're watching TV now, and you've got your phone with you, you've got your tablet with you, and maybe you're sitting there with your laptop. So you've got multiple yeah. things pulling your attention away from the thing you actually turned on to watch in the first place.
That's very true. That's very true. If I can switch, because this has happened a couple yesterday, and I'm getting as many people's opinion on it as I can. The NFL, our buddies at the NFL, just decided that they're going to fine teams, although they never said they haven't said how much they're going to fine teams for players not standing during the national anthem. Is this another misstep of the NFL in its sort of clumsy hippopotamus PR method? It seems like they just sort of stumble along, because they're so big, it's hard to really, I mean, one thing won't bring them down, so they just stumble around.
They can't help themselves.
No. So what do you, I mean, outside of what you think about, you know, what players standing or not standing for national anthem, what do you think about the NFL's response at their meetings this summer? They should never meet in the summertime. It should just not.
No, well, you know, you meet in the summer, no, it's you're kind of tucked away and hidden away. You can kind of do what you want and no one says boo. You know, that's one of the and again, we have 32 billionaires doing that. That's, you know, it's a closed door society, and this is what happened. You know, they continue to fumble on the PR side of things. You know, granted, you can look at, you know, the standing versus not standing way, whatever you want, whatever your political slant is. But, you know, when you do something like this and you don't even consult the Players Association, and it's just 32 guys making the call. Yes, you're the boss. Yes, you can. It's your toy. You know, you can do with it what you want. But all you have to do is look at the NBA. You've had in the history of the NBA, and again, this is, you know, both sports are dominated by minorities. You know, the numbers in the NBA are much higher, but football is swinging in that direction as well too. You've had one issue, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, back in the 1990s when he was with the Denver Nuggets. You know, he turned his back on the flag while everyone else was facing it. He caught holy you know what for that, and he was out of the league. At roughly around that same time, the league was kind of going through a little bit of transition from the Jordan era and Ewing and Malone and the Dream Teamers to a little bit more of the hip-hop flavor with the Iversons of the world. So it was, the dress code was changing. They had that whole deal going on with that. But what they did, they worked together with the players, you know, to get past all of that, to make sure that, you know what, this is an issue that can either divide us or can define us. And the players' organization, the players' association, said yes, we're going to do this. You know why? Because they had a voice. There's communication between the two sides. Right now, when you do something like this, there's no communication. There's just an enforcement, and I think it's going to backfire in a lot of ways. What happens? You know, they said that some guys can stay in the locker room if they choose, and that's their, you know, that's their concession to free speech.
What's the whole team say? Well, what if you get to the game and the whole team's in the locker room?
Right, exactly. When you have 20 guys, and believe me, you're going to be watching to see who's out there and who's not. And all of a sudden, you know what, after the game, instead of talking about the game again, you're still talking about, okay, why weren't you out there? So you really haven't done anything to rectify the situation. It's crazy that they think something like this is going to do it, and when you're going to have all these unintended consequences as a result.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I thought. You know what? People are still going to look and see who's out there. I mean, what numbers to see. People are going to still look and see how players are reacting, and people are going to look and go, well, does this cover, according to what we saw, does this cover all of the people who work for the team, all the equipment managers, and I always wondered, does anybody ever been to an NFL game and see how much activity there is on the sideline, even during the national anthem? People are doing their jobs.
Yeah.
People, trainers are running around. Everybody's running around trying to get ready.
Exactly.
Does it include everybody?
Does it include everybody? You know, if you're going to just the 45 guys on the field, you know, around the team at that point, whoever dresses out. Yeah, I don't know. That's a very, very good question. You know, I'm sure that that will be addressed, you know, as it becomes, you know, more prevalent, or, you know, people, their awareness, or someone just simply asks the question, well, hey, what about that guy? You know, so I don't know. It's such a slippery slope for these guys, but, you know, the bottom line is they continually fall on the sword and just hurt themselves for no reason, you know, it just comes out of communication. Just talk to somebody. Okay. That's life. You have to actually talk to somebody at some point in time to get things done. So just talk.
Well, because, and the first thing I thought of, Dave, when I heard this yesterday, they're going to have to talk to the players union about this stuff.
Yeah.
Down the line. And at that point they'll be talking about money and other things, and it will be contentious as opposed to saying, we've all got a problem here, because you know what, where our bread is buttered is in danger, and we have both got to solve this problem. And it may be easy, a lot of times it's easy, especially if you can get the players to come out and say to their audience, hey, this is what we've decided to do, and we're good. Actually,
right.
You know, forgetting, I did a show yesterday, forgetting what the genesis of all this was anyway, and how their message got changed and co-opted by other forces. And now people are not standing for completely different reasons that Colin Kaepernick didn't stand earlier in the beginning of all this nonsense. So it's not even about what it started about.
No, the message has definitely shifted, and you know, the more people, it's like when you have a job, sometimes the people think they have a better way to do the job, and more people start touching it, and the more it gets convoluted, and the more it gets messed up, you know, well, you should do it this way, no, you should do it this way, no, you should do it this way. Well, really, no, the way I was doing it was just fine, you know, you just wanted to have a voice in the conversation. So many people have touched this thing and turned it around and shifted it to, you know, whatever agenda that they want, you know, whether it's a positive one or a negative one, or just kind of missing the boat on the entire thing. And
okay, so I'm not the only one.
Yeah,
thank you.
Can you see? I don't even know what it is now. Okay, I mean, what? Why? Huh? You know, I mean, now you're at that point. Then, well, shoot, why are we fighting? What's the deal?
Well, yeah, you know. And I think once the president got involved, then it became about the president and being part of the resistance and all that madness. But because it's totally lost whatever flavor it had in the beginning. And now I don't think it means, right. I don't think it means anything. I don't think it means anything at all.
No.
What are you up to? Okay, so I don't mean this morning, but what are you up to now in general? Again, I've already lamented the fact that we don't see you on television, and we need to. So, but what are you doing now?
Well, the last 4 years, I've kind of shifted, you know, the focus from TV. So after I left Channel 8, actually helped start a high school sports show. The company was Our Team Sports, and I was the sports director along with the gentleman who brought me on, Stephen Gressick. And we did the show for a year out of Channel 8 studio. So I was still working out of Channel 8, and which was, you know, an interesting dynamic on itself. So we started it on Channel 8's digital channel. And then the next year it moved to Sun Sports, which was fantastic because now we have we're in 6 million homes and we're seen across the state. So just by that 1 year, you know, more people were watching me than watched on a daily basis on Channel 8. And then it continued to grow and continued to grow. And we eventually, by year five, were on Fox College Sports National with this show. So the show had gone national in 5 years from the start of the, you know, 2009 and the recession to that.
Wow.
So it was going really, really well. And at the same time, I was also doing, hosting the Skip Holtz show on Channel 8, and also concurrently ran on Sun Sports. And also the Stan Heath show. So I was involved with USF at the same time. I was doing these coaches shows and also doing some play by play stuff. So I mean, my plate was full there until about 2014, and then I kind of shifted gears and moved into the PR sales communication side of things.
and worked for Visit Tampa Bay for about a year and a couple of other PR firms. And, you know, right now I'm actually a VP of Sales and Communications for Virtual Marketing 360. So what we do is, it's really kind of next level sort of marketing. So we do virtual tours. We do a lot of drone work. We get involved with Facebook 360. Our clients are pretty good sized, you know, Live Nation, House of Blues. Locally, we've done projects with Tampa International Airport, Cat Rescue. We just signed a deal with Berkeley Prep to do some work with them. And the really cool thing that we did was we were hired by Valspar to take care of the social and multimedia for the Valspar Championship when Tiger was just here. So that was, so I'm still around the area and still doing some things in sports. We've done a video project for the Tampa Bay Lightning too, which was turned out fantastically. So I'm really kind of getting involved with a lot of different groups and using the connections that I made, throughout sports and throughout, Visit Tampa Bay, everything over the years, and really kind of shifting things and bringing that unique kind of digital marketing that we do to Tampa. Because we really don't have anything like that of the quality in this city. So, and people are picking up on it. So, getting these clients and are just really kind of puts it over the top.
That's awesome. That's good. That's good. That is good to hear. And if you guys need a podcaster, just, shoot me a DM on Instagram.
Just saying, right?
I'm saying, you're a podcaster who's done over 5,000 podcasts since 2008. Just shoot me a DM. I'll come over and you know what I'll do? I'll cut you 10 for free in the beginning.
Look at that. See?
Because that's how we do it.
That's how business is done. That's how business is done, people. In case you're listening, that's how business is done. These are the conversations that happen, and the next thing you know, there's a deal in place, and bam, there you go. How did that happen? Well, we had a conversation. They talked to each other.
They talked. Oh my God, they actually talked, and somebody wasn't afraid of somebody saying no or no, let's do it this way. And it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Listen, Dave, I know you got to run. Listen, thank you ever so much for coming on and spending some time with us this morning and having a conversation and catching up. I'm really, really excited about what you're doing. I'm looking forward to seeing more of it, especially in this area as we grow, as people come here. As millennials come here and we start to become, and I think that this area needs to be the hub for that sort of activity because we are so set up for it really. And we've got everything else in place. So again, congratulations on your new adventure. Give your family a hug for me. You have a lovely family. Give them a hug for me.
Thank you.
And listen,
that's my guy, man. Preston is my guy.
Yes. He is. I love watching him grow up on Instagram. I just love the dude. I just do. Give him a high five for me. All right. Again, thanks for coming on to talking with, and have a fantastic rest of the day. And I hope we can hook up again soon. Thank you again, Dave.
All right, sounds good, my friend. Thank you. All right, take care.
All right, peace. All right,
bye.
That's Dave Reynolds. Dave Reynolds. We got to have a conversation with Dave Reynolds. Got to catch up. That was cool. And I'm looking forward to more conversations with more people who are in the Tampa Bay area who've got something to say about what's going on. Listen, thank you ever so much for tuning in to Talking With. I think my next conversation is going to be with my friend Gary James Knight of New Homes of Tampa Bay. So we look forward to that. Go to our Spreaker, our Spreaker show, go to Spreaker.com and search for Talking With. We're also going to post this on Facebook again. So thank you again. Thank you again. Thank you again for dropping by. And thank you again to Dave Reynolds for dropping by today and spending some time with us this morning. All right, we got to get out of here and just listen, make room for somebody else. So when, just like always, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, y'all take care of yourself. We will see you when we see you.